With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all the results from the FA Trophy from this past weekend with James Hayes. We'll also be previewing those big fourth qualifying round matches in the FA Cup, as we'll be hearing from all the clubs involved. And later on in the show, we'll be joined by Adam Parks from Black Country Radio and Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian for a preview for all this weekend's matches in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben, up here in the north of England, in the metropolitan bit of the north of England, and over there in the countryside bit, in the hills, out in yonder, we're now joined by the wonderful James Hayes. Hello James, how are you?
How are you doing, Ben? Fine, thank you very much.
Where is yonder? I've never understood that phrase.
Yeah. No idea, but it must be close by.
Yeah, anyway. So coming up in the show, we're going to be talking FA Cup, as we'll be joined by eight, count them, dear listener, eight managers. Don't know how I'm going to fit all the interviews in, but that's the plan. Eight interviews to focus on those teams who, let's be honest, are going to be in the first round draw of the FA Cup come Monday evening. So we'll have that coming up later on. Plus, we're going to be previewing all the fixtures for this weekend with Andrew Simpson. And we've got Adam Parks coming on to talk number nine Derby, because that happened this past week. Black Country Radio's very own Adam Parks joining us to discuss Hales Owen and Stourbridge. But before all of that, we talked about the FA Cup. Let's talk about the FA Trophy. The preliminary round took place on Saturday. And joining us now to look back at all the results, we're now joined by the wonderful James Hayes. Hello, James. Are you still there, out there in yonder? Good.
I am still here in yonder, don't worry.
Right. So, FA Trophy. The next round is going to be taking place in late October, I think. So, on the Division 1 show, we'll be interviewing some of the managers involved who we've not yet had on the NPL show this season. But, James, let's start this in alphabetical order then and get your general feel. I'm going to suggest that this is one of the upsets of the round so far. ASC Rushton and Diamonds, formerly of this parish, 1. Kidsgrove Athletic, 3. What a result that is for Kidsgrove.
Great little result there, but I don't think it's much as a shock as most people are suggesting it is, because Rushton and Diamonds haven't settled into the Southern League well this year. But Kidsgrove have just took advantage of it there. Just shows, again, Northern Premier League is better than the Southern League, let's be honest.
Well, we already knew that, but 430 there for that one, to watch that, showing the Southern League how it's done. Congratulations to Kidsgrove Athletic, through to the next round, as are Bamber Bridge, 4-2 winners against Brighouse Town. A very good result that by Bamber Bridge. I think they were 3-0 up come half-time in that game, so quite convincing for Bamber. Basford United, 3. Peterborough Sports, 0.
Basford United, they've been flying in the Division 1 South so far this season. We know what they can do in the Cup, and we know what they like in the league. So win the next round, which I expect them to emulate what they've done in the Cup.
Belper Town, 1. Alvechurch, 2. Could have been a bit of a banana skin, that one, for Alvechurch. Belper Town have been quite decent in the league this season, but Alvechurch are currently 2 points ahead up the road in Division 1 South, but they do have games in hand as well. So Chase Town, 2. Market Drayton Town, 0. Was another result in the preliminary round of the FA Trophy.
Job done to Chase Town, really, and through to the next round.
Cleethorpes Town, 2. Hyde United, 1. Now, obviously, we're going to be speaking to Darren Keller later in the show. But Cleethorpes Town, there, up there with Basford United, currently undefeated in the league, and they're putting a Division 1 North side to the sword.
Yeah, I mean, again, Cleethorpes coming from the FA Vars last year, so you've got to show them a little bit of respect in the FA competition.
So the next one is the M65 Derby, Pendle Derby, East Lancashire Derby, Central Lancashire Derby. I don't. It's a Derby. Clitheroe 3, Cone 0. A very good result that for Clitheroe. All the goals pretty much coming in the first 40 minutes or so in that game there. Good result for Bedworth United. They're having a decent start to the season as well, currently sitting 10th in Division 1 South. They travelled to Gresley and won by 1-0. We will get Bedworth on, I think, because we've not had them on for a while. We will get Bedworth on the Division 1 show. So, Kendal Town 2, Radcliffe... Oh, sorry, James. Let me tee this up a bit better. James! Kendal Town 2, Radcliffe Borough 1. Thoughts?
Well, it's been interesting the last couple of weeks with Radcliffe, but Radcliffe are going through, obviously still in that transitional period at the moment, but they've played a lot more fluidly. And Kendall took the lead within the first 35 minutes and just obviously kept Radcliffe on the back foot. So fair play to Kendall.
Leek Town 4, Lincoln United 1. In my eyes, that's a very good result, that, for Leek Town. But they are having a good season, currently sitting in the playoffs and through now to the next round in the FA Trophy. Mosley 3, Skelmersdale United 1. A very good result, that, for Mosley. And Mosley have had a good start to the season. I'm trying to remember if it was this season or last season where a couple of people were suggesting that Mosley might struggle. It doesn't look like they're going to struggle this year.
I think I was one of them. I thought they would struggle a little bit with what's going on.
Name and shame, James. Yes.
I think I'm already named and shamed enough down that there. But Nick Woods, anyway.
Next up, Newcastle Town 3, Soham Town Rangers 0. This one was an interesting one. I think it's one of the few ones that have actually gone to a replay. Ossett Albion 1, Drawsden 1.
It was exactly the same result in the replay as well. 1-1 after 90 minutes. Drawsden just edging it on penalties.
Prescott Cables beat Trafford by 3-1. Prescott Cables having a storming start to the season, currently sitting in the playoff positions at time of recording. Also in the playoffs are Ramsbottom United. They beat Colwyn Bay by 3-0. And Colwyn Bay, they're currently in ninth position in Division 1 North. So one of the results of the round, Scarborough Athletic 3, South Shields 5. What a game this was. Over 1,300 there on the east coast of Yorkshire. Sheffield FC 0, Frickley Athletic 3. Obviously, Sheffield have had some managerial changes this past fortnight. Frickley Athletic there. Jacob Hazel getting a hat-trick in that game. Big congratulations to him. Big crowd, though, as well. Over 400 there. The next team, they're having a good start to the season. Stamford. Stamford 3, Loughborough Dynamo 0. Stamford are currently sitting 8th in the Division 1 South table. But then again, Loughborough Dynamo, what a start they're having. Currently 6th in Division 1 South, but knocked out of the FA Trophy. That might not necessarily be a bad thing for Loughborough, though.
It might not be. I thought this game would be a lot closer because Loughborough are playing quite interesting football from the report.
Surprise package this season, Loughborough, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, indeed, especially because Leeds has left it to the last day to stay up last season.
Let's remember what Pete Ward said, manager at Loughborough, at the end of last season when we spoke to him. He said, "We're not going to be here next year. We're not going to be down the bottom
end." Very true.
So, it starts, you mean to go on. Congratulations to Stamford going through to the next round. As are Atherton Coles, who beat Stocksbridge Park Steels 4-1 away from home. A fine, fine result, that, by Atherton Coles. And finally, Tadcaster Albion 0, Glossop North End 2. A fine result, that, by Glossop North End. Christopher Bagley. No. Is that Chris Bagley?
Yes, it is.
Chris
indeed.
Chris Bagley getting a goal in the 82nd minute.
I know that. He's on another list as well that I'm looking at this moment.
I'm not surprised, yeah. So a big congratulations to everyone who made it through to the next round of the FA Trophy. Commiserations to those who don't. And as we said, later in the month when we've got October's Division 1 show, we'll interview some of the managers involved who we've not interviewed yet this season. You mentioned Chris Bagley appearing on a list.
It's a very competitive list at this moment in time. Let's put it that way.
Now, you've got loads of people. More names are coming. You've been on the phone to me now for about 15 minutes or so. I'm imagining when you get back off this phone call, you'll go and there'll be more names added to the list. How can people add to your workload, James?
So like the 10 people have just done it whilst we're on the been on this phone call as well. Literally, if you go to the league website, we're running the top 100 players of all time poll. I would say it's close is an understatement. It's quite literally a massive battle royale at the moment.
So keep throwing names in, dear listener. That's the most important thing. James Hayes, what have you done? It's proper Pandora's box. Good luck with the list. And we'll be speaking to you next week. Have a lovely weekend. So that's the FA Trophy, and a big thank you to James Hayes for joining me this week to walk us through all the preliminary round results. We will be coming back to the FA Trophy later in the month. Later in the show, we will be looking at the league with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and Adam Parks will be joining us as well from Black Country Radio to talk about that number 9 derby from this past week. But it's now time to draw our eyes to the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. We've got loads of interviews coming up. We're going to be hearing from the managers at Nantwich, Scarborough, Hyde United, Ossett Town, South Shields, Stourbridge and Shore Lane. But we're going to kick things off with this fixture here. It's Buxton against Gateshead. And joining me now, it's the manager, the welcome return back to the show, to Martin McIntosh. So welcome back to the show, Martin. Just before we get to this big mammoth game this weekend against Gateshead, a big congratulations for the third qualifying round result against Alchurch. You must have been pleased with the way the team dug deep and got a result there in that potential banana skin.
Yeah, it was a really difficult game. They were a very, very good side, a really tough side to break down. But we kept going and eventually we got a bit of luck, to be honest, with the equaliser. I think they tired last sort of 15, 20 minutes. And luckily enough for us, we got the two goals and the second one in injury time. So, yeah, we were relieved and delighted to get through.
I mean, we're going into those last 10 minutes there. You are 1-0 down, and I'm assuming that Buxton did create a fair few chances as well. How do you manage that situation there of trying to keep your boys motivated to keep banging on the door?
We could tell that they were tiring, and, it was just... Basically, it was throwing the kitchen sink at it, really. We were getting the ball in the box and really just putting them under pressure, and eventually they cracked. And once we got that first goal, it looked like, I think we'd still 6 minutes, so it looked like we were the only team that were going to get that second one. So thankfully we did.
When we spoke last time going into that game, we were talking about the league form and you were talking about the to-ing and fro-ing and the way no one can get a run together. Apart from the Monday night result against Shaw Lane, you have been on a decent run since then in the league.
Yeah, it's not been bad. We won 3 games on the trot. I think we'd won something like 9 out of 13 and cup and league, so it wasn't too bad. Surely on Monday they were a better side than us. Very, very physical side. As physical a side as I've played against in this league for a long time. They were effective at what they did. And they're top of the league, so can't take anything away from them. And I think if they continue to play like that, they'll be right in the mix at the end of the season to win the league, I think.
Talking about in the mix, above you now in the league, you've got all these teams who've played 3 or 4 games more than you, and certainly be 4 games by the time this weekend's done and dusted. How are you managing the situation now with the squad and making sure that the FA Cup is adding to the flavour of good form at Silverlands?
The squad's not hard at the moment. We've actually, in the last few weeks, got a few players back, which has been a real boost to us with the amount of games coming up. But if you look at all the teams in the Cup, like ourselves, Nantwich, Stafford had a good run. They had replays. If you look at all the teams that have been in the FA Cup from our division out with Shaw Lane, you know, we've all got a lot of games in hand, and we've slipped down the league just due to the fact that we've not played so many league games as everyone else. But I've been here before, and when you go out of the FA Cup, you then think, right, okay, where are we in the league? Oh, we've got so many games in hand, but you can't count points in this league, that's for sure. It's every point that you gain, you have to battle for. So it's all right having games in hand, but getting the points is always very, very difficult. So no. We'll look at it. Whenever we go out the cup, hopefully it'll not be Saturday.
It's not going to happen Saturday, I've got no doubt at all. coming up shortly, we're going to be speaking to Grant Black at Ossett Town, and I've done a bit of research about Ossett Town. They've never been this far past this round of the FA Cup. And for Buxton, it's a big deal, this, to get through to the first round, and you've got Gateshead. They've obviously had the change of management there up there in the northeast. What are you expecting from them, and what are you expecting from your own supporters?
Well, our supporters will be buying at it, I'm sure. I don't think as a club we've been in the first round proper since, I think it's 1966 or 67. You're looking at 50 years or so, which is quite incredible. So that's how big a day it is for our football club. The fans getting behind us is going to be huge. I'm not sure whether I would have preferred the manager to have gone in before or after we play them. You know, we don't know how that'll work. Certainly, you know, when a new manager comes in, players certainly give that a little bit more. But it's the FA Cup, and you know, it's so important for both clubs. So like I say, if we're at it on Saturday, I'm sure we'll give them a good match, and we'll have a good chance.
And hopefully the whole town will come out for this one as well. I mean, I remember being at Silverlands one year and someone threw a pig's head on the pitch. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that happens this weekend, but there can be a cauldron-like atmosphere at Silverlands, and hopefully that'll happen this weekend. And hopefully you'll get through to the next round. And Martin McIntosh, manager at Buxton, a big thank you for coming on the show, and I'll speak to you in the first round. So next up, focusing on the fourth round qualifying of this season's FA Cup, we've got this particular fixture here. It's Nantwich Town of our very own beloved Northern Premier League against the Southern League outfit, Kettering Town. And joining us now to discuss this fixture more in depth, we're now joined by the welcome return of manager at Nantwich Town. Please welcome back to the show, Dave Cook. So thanks for joining us, Dave. First, before we get to this weekend's match against Kettering, firstly, a big congratulations for the third qualifying round. What a result that was against Nuneaton.
Yeah, we played ever so well. They're a decent side. I think they'd beaten Southport the week before 3-0. So we knew we were going to be in for a tough game. Yeah, everything went well on the day. It certainly wasn't a 3-1. Although we were 3-0 up at one point, it was always a tight game. It was always nip and tuck because they've got some dangerous players.
It was one of the results of the round. It was a superb effort against a team in the division above. And just go to the league. We've been discussing this on the previous shows about the FA Cup and how, unfortunately, it means that you fall behind slightly because of the games in hand, that side of things. Are you hoping that the FA Cup, it's about kickstarting the season, getting form on the board? Is that what you're hoping for when the FA Cup run does come to an end?
Yeah, I mean, we've had five defeats now on the bounce in the league, which, you know, is worrying. It's worrying for all of us. The last couple of games we've played, which was we lost to Altrincham 5-1. And look, even with the best team in out, we just struggled against them because they're in a rich vein of form. They're going to be up there. There's no question with the players that they've got. But we played that game. We've rested probably the most influential player we've got in Joel Stair, because him and Matt Bell are both on four bookings. And we said, look, if they pick up a booking against Altrincham or Farsley Celtic, then they're going to miss the FA Cup. And the FA Cup is too important for the football club at this moment in time. So decided to leave them two out. Then the keeper gets injured before the game in the warm-up, so he can't kick it. He's the second choice keeper because Fabian's still not fit. So what could Clayton McDonald come off after about 38 minutes? He'd been sick all day, but he started. So it was one of them. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. We put a young kid in at half-time, he was 18 in goal. But the lads kept playing football, and I don't think it was a 5-1 game. But so that was a game that we lost. And then Saturday, it was the same again because we were leaving the lads out. And again, we had an 18-year-old kid in goal. And it was not until the 70th minute that they scored Farsley, and then they scored one right at the end. And again, it's another defeat in the league. But as soon as the cup is over, or certainly we've got to get back on winning ways.
Absolutely. I mean, you did touch upon something there where you said that the cup's very important to the club, and there is a chance now of getting through to the first round, and a very good chance. I mean, but that said, Kettering are in a fine run of form themselves at the moment.
I sent Mervyn Evans, a scout, to go and watch them on Saturday, and they won 5-0. And I went to Biggleswade Town on Tuesday night to watch them, and they drew 0-0. But they're a good side. Very well organised. You can see why the top of their league. But it'll be on the day.
Showing how important the first round is. You went all the way to Bedfordshire on a midweek, was that, on a Tuesday, to watch?
Yeah.
Well, Dave Cook, manager at Nantwich Town, a big, big, big good luck this weekend. We hope you win. And as I said to you in the last round, I'll speak to you in the next round, Dave. No problem at all. And a big good luck to Nantwich Town this weekend, taking on Southern League opposition, Nantwich Town against Kettering Town. Now, there is one all-MPL affair this coming weekend in the fourth qualifying round. That's Scarborough Athletic against Hyde United. And very shortly, we'll be hearing from Darren Kelly, manager at Hyde United. But what about the host, Scarborough Athletic? Well, joining me now, it's media man at Scarborough Athletic. It's a welcome return to the show to Will Baines. So welcome back to the show, Will. Scarborough Athletic against Hyde United, there's a chance here to get through to the first round. And obviously, we know about the history of Scarborough as a football club, but this would be the first time for Scarborough Athletic to make the first round proper as a club as it is now.
That's right, yeah. It's a really exciting time to be involved with a club at the moment, with us coming home and in this FA Cup run that we've had as well. And so we have only previously been as far as the second qualifying round. So beating Stratford in the replay, the third qualifying round, took us even further into the competition and into the match tomorrow.
And this match tomorrow, it's mouthwatering, this one, because both, I'd say Scarborough Athletic and Hyde United, along with South Shields, have been the early front runners when it comes to Division 1 North. And obviously, all three of you have had, you've been missing fixtures in the league, and that's allowed the likes of Bamber Bridge and Glossop and Ramy and Prescott Cables to get amongst the action too. But for my money, Scarborough and Hyde United have been very, very impressive in this opening gambit of the season.
Definitely. I mean, Hyde are obviously unbeaten in the league at the moment, and we've had a really good start, only losing to South Shields back in August. So both sides have had a really good start, and it really sets it up to be a fascinating encounter.
Now, we've got South Shields and Charlene coming on the show later as well. And, you know, that for them to get to this stage, it's a signal of intent. For Scarborough Athletic, it's a bit more profound than that, isn't it? Because, you know, the long struggles that the club's had in recent times and this season been a joyous occasion of finally getting back to the town of Scarborough. This is basically a big announcement to a bigger stage that Scarborough Athletic have arrived. And what does that mean for the town as a whole?
Oh, it's massive for the town. And I mean, just a few years ago when we were still playing at Bridlington, you know, to say that we'd be back home and having a great FA Cup run in 2017 would have been something that you wouldn't have really believed. And, you know, to have the both together has been fantastic for the club in terms of marketing ourselves to the town and trying to win people back, because it's all about trying to win people who previously went to watch the old Scarborough club at down on Seymour Road at the McCain Stadium, trying to get them back involved, and also attracting a new generation of fans through the younger people in the town who for a decade haven't been able to watch live football in Scarborough. And so it's just brilliant that we've had this FA Cup run. It's brought in lots of interest from media people like yourselves and local and regional stuff as well. So it's been great for us to really fly the flag, I suppose. And you don't want to look too far ahead, but it would be fantastic to be in that draw for the first round proper. But we've got to be at our best against Hyde.
Obviously, commentary will be available on 26-0, but it is going to be a fantastic occasion locally. Obviously, Scarborough, you'll be able to follow the coverage on the Twitter feed and that kind of thing. It's a fantastic operation, the media side that Scarborough have.
That's it, yeah. We're really pulling out all the stops to try and give fans the experience on match days and those who can't make the game on Saturday. We've got a new feature of augmented reality, which I'm still trying to get my head round in the programme.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but augmented reality, what's this?
It's, I don't know if you've seen, obviously, Frickley have got some coverage with their programme in terms of where you point your phone at the programme and you can see highlights, clips, interviews, wow, that sort of thing from games. We've also got the FA Cup, which if you take a photo of the programme, it'll show you with the FA Cup and you can post it on social media and that sort of thing. So that's one of the innovations that we're doing. Obviously, we've got the YouTube channel, SAFC TV, who've been fantastic this season, bringing coverage to people who can't get to games. So we're hoping that even for fans who can't get to the Flamingoland Stadium, that they'll be able to keep well up to date with, as you say, the radio commentary as well.
Well, Will Baines, media man at Scarborough Athletic, a big thank you for taking the time out your busy day to come on the show. Best of luck this weekend. Obviously, as I said, I can't say, you know, I hope you win, I hope Hyde win. Both fantastic supporter-owned clubs. We hope football and fan ownership's a winner this weekend. So that's the view from Scarborough Athletic, but what about the visitors this weekend? Hyde United, and joining me now, it's a welcome return to the manager at Hyde United. Please welcome back to the show, Mr. Darren Kelly. So welcome back to the show, Darren, and firstly, a big congratulations for the last round, a hat-trick for Matthew Beadle taking you through, yeah. And it could have been a potential banana skin, but going through to the fourth qualifying round.
Yeah, it was occasions in the FA Cup, they're one-off games, if you look at a bar replays, and it's all about on the day. And when you go into Boston Towns, you have everything on the pitch, and, you know, you have players, you know, in terms of our players, they're giving their absolute all for the team. Then you're playing against their players where, they try to get into the mind game side of things because they know they're maybe not up to the same quality. So, to be honest, it was just a hard-gritted professional performance by our boys. Especially, it wasn't the best game to watch or anything like that. But, absolutely delighted to be in this round and looking forward to this weekend's fixture against Scarborough.
Now, this one's quite it's flying under the radar, obviously, as a fixture because of all the NPL versus conference games that take place. But this one's quite a big deal, this one, and it could go either way, really.
Very, very big. I would look at it from an outsider and say it's two very similar teams. Again, it's the glory of the FA Cup, isn't it? It's the glory of the FA Cup in the fact that, for me, it's all about who wants it the most on the day. We'll go there. It'll work in two ways. Their supporters will get behind them until they go a goal down. So it's important that if we can go and get an early goal, get their supporters, because there'll be a big crowd there, Ben. I would have thought there'll be about between 1,500 and 2,000 people there. So it's important that we go and we make the noises. We'll have a great support from Hyde. It's important we go about our jobs, again, professionally, then with a serious work ethic. We'll have to work, obviously, our socks off to get the result, which I've no doubt our boys are ready for it. They're buzzing for it. And again, it's all about the individual battles. So work harder and play better than the individual that you're playing against. And you know what? If we can get 7, 8, 9 of them, we'll have a good chance. So, we're ready for Saturday. We'll do a bit of work tonight tactically and set pieces and things like that. Doesn't need to be anything strenuous. The players are motivated for it. The occasion looks after itself. For some of them, it's the biggest games they've played in their careers. And we're just hoping by 5 o'clock on Saturday, we're still in the hat.
And obviously, if you are still in the hat, and if you do make it through to the next round, you've not, as a club, been in the first round since the mid-90s. Obviously, the last few seasons, it's been negative on the pitch with relegations and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This must be really pleasing for you as a manager who came in last year and picked the club up, and now we're on the verge of this big occasion for Hyde United.
Yeah, and that's the thing, as you say, a couple of, when you look at your 90s and things like that, when the team would have been sort of higher in the leagues, if you look at it in terms of the FA Cup, when I first came into the job, the place was doom and gloom. It's not about me, it's about the team we put together on the pitch and the team off it, and then obviously all the great work of volunteers and the directors and everybody do the, behind the scenes. But what I can do is create that little pathway, create first and foremost a positive environment that people want to come and play. The club has just was then in the back of three straight relegations. You look at over the stats from the mid-90s, the clubs would have been higher up. I think when they achieved that, it was only two rounds they had to go past. When you look at it now, effectively, if fingers crossed we get past Scarborough on Saturday, it'll be 5 rounds we will have passed. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the fact that, again, the doom and gloom times of the club has been through. Now we're getting happier times. Saturday we would beat FA Trophy, yes. It's the first defeat in 20, we were on a run of 23 games. And obviously that one we lost, we played midweek. We're back in the swing of things of winning. And now it's just a matter of the FA Cup, obviously going to Scarborough, getting the result there and really kicking on again. At the end of the day, the faith we have in the squad, the faith we have in the club, the buzz about the club, it's really special, and long may that continue.
Well, Darren Kelly, manager at Hyde United, a big thank you for coming on the show. It's two NPL sides, going at it. So we hope Pies and Peas are the winner, and all the best this weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben.
And a big good luck to both Scarborough Athletic and Hyde United in that fourth qualifying round tie there on Saturday afternoon. Now, next up on this week's show, we've got this tie here. Solihull Moors against Ossett Town in what perhaps is Ossett Town's biggest game. Joining us now to discuss this match more in depth, we're joined by the welcome return of manager Ossett Town. Please welcome back to the show, Grant Black. Firstly, before we get to this weekend's match, a big congratulations on that third qualifying round victory over 1874 Northwich. It was a tough slog, but you must be dead pleased with the way your team dug in and got the result.
Yeah, I mean, you've took words out of my mouth there. It was a dig in. I've said it a couple of times since that game. You know, Northwich made it really difficult for us and we had to be at it. They're a really good side. And, you know, I said to their manager before, penalties, you know, whatever happens. You know, it's been a great two games and both teams should be proud of what they've done. You know, and I think Northwich with the guys who've got a helmet minute and the way their club's running, you know, a bright future to get back to sort of where they've been in past.
Now, this sets up then this tie against Solihull Moors. And I was doing my research earlier, Grant, you'll be pleased to know, and I was looking on Wikipedia and I think Ossett have been here once before. They've never got past the fourth qualifying round. So this is quite a big deal for the club.
Yeah, like I say, as far as I'm aware as well, I think they've been to this stage once before in their history. So, you know, obviously we're up at Moon to sort of match that. And, you know, we'll be looking to go one better, as tough as it'll be. But that's what we'll be looking to do. But yeah, the club have, you know, they're absolutely buzzing to sort of be at this stage. And it's created a lot of good publicity for the club, which is always nice. People that didn't know where Ossett were or have never heard of it are sort of starting to know where it is and what they're all about. So, you know, we look to keep doing that for the club and like I say, it brings good things.
And for you as a manager as well, I mean, it seems... How long ago was it now? It must have wasn't too long ago. It feels like yesterday in a way where we first spoke when you first took over at Ossett Town. You're down the bottom end of the table. We all know about the triumphant what was last season, getting through to the playoffs. You must be riding a crest of a wave as a manager, as a management team.
Yeah, we're definitely sort of riding that wave and sticking to it as long as we can. You know, we're confident in what we're doing and we're aware that, you know, since we came in, we have done a good job. But, you know, in any walk of life, but in football, definitely, you know, you're only two or three games away from your own fans and other people throwing tomatoes at you and saying they want you out and stuff like that. And things can soon be forgot. So, you know, it's our aim to just continue winning games and preparing the team to do as well as we can every week. And like I say, hopefully... that wave will continue as long as it can.
I'll tell you what, though, Grant, if you get through to the first round, I think far from getting tomatoes, you'll probably be getting your own statue, I'd imagine.
Yeah. But for various reasons.
Yeah, sure. Got birds
to sit on, probably. You know, but yeah, like you said, for non-league clubs, you know, I've been there playing-wise and things like that. And, you know, that's always been aimed for non-league clubs, yeah. You know, financially, it brings that reward with it, which is what can secure clubs for quite a while. Just the whole sort of being caught up in it and things like that is massive for a club. And I think we're taking some like 130 fans away on three or four buses to Solihull on Saturday, so it shows that it's captured the town as well.
And obviously, you mentioned the two or three games away from having tomatoes thrown at you. Obviously, we hope that doesn't happen. But just to say, you are two or three games now behind everyone else pretty much now in Division 1 North. It's a problem which we've posed to South Shields, to Scarborough and to Hyde United on this week's show. But it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It's definitely a good problem to have. We'd rather sort of be in this competition still now than not and have played three more games in the league campaign, because obviously, you know, a league lasts a long time. You can claw points back and things like that. So being in FA Cup, it'll not affect us sort of long term and what our ambitions are in the league. And like you said, the three sides that you've mentioned there is something that I've already mentioned to our lads. You know, I guarantee that they will be up there towards the end of the season in top six, the three teams you've mentioned, and they're in the same competition. So whether these league games get put to a Tuesday or a Saturday, you know, it'll be the same for them three. And, you know, we've got to just try and hang on to their coattails and sort of take a lead from what they're going to be doing.
Well, Grant Black, manager of Ossett Town, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. I know I've said this to you in every round now, but I'll definitely speak to you in the next round, Grant. Thanks for coming on and best of luck this weekend.
I hope so, mate. I hope so. Thank you.
And a big thank you to Grant Black for joining us on this week's show. Solihull Moors against Ossett Town this weekend in the fourth qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. Also in fourth qualifying round action this weekend, possibly one of the ties of the round, I'm going to suggest, it's South Shields against Hartlepool United. And joining us now, it's the welcome return to one of the joint managers at South Shields. Please welcome back to the show, Lee Picton. So welcome back to the show, Lee. And before we get to this weekend's FA Cup tie, just a big congratulations for the last one. I mean, we spoke before it, but that was a hell of a result, that against York.
It was. It certainly was, Ben. And it was a great occasion for everybody involved at the football club. We had a full house at Mariners Park, and it was a thoroughly entertaining game. And it's always nice to get a last-minute winner, which is what we got on that particular occasion. So it was a great day.
Now, a big crowd there, as you said, just over 2,800 there. What was it like when Gavin did score that goal?
Yeah, I think the general consensus for people who've been in and around the club for a long time, you know, I think they all said that was the loudest they'd ever heard it, and it was, you know, it was some roar when that final goal went in, because, you know, the game had obviously gone backwards and forwards. We dominated in the early parts and took a 2-goal lead, and then they had a 5-10 minute spell where they pegged us back with a couple of quick goals, and we thought our chance maybe had gone, and, you know, to snatch one right at the end was particularly sweet.
We spoke, didn't we, about to announce South Shields' arrival on the non-league scene. You need to play these big matches, and more, yeah. It'd be nice to win these big matches as well. And we were speaking about it last week with when Swampy was predicting, oh, South Shields will win this on the non-league show. And
right.
Tim and Dave Anderson, who live down south, were like, oh, really? By beating York, that is a statement of intent right there, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, I don't think even the York fans could argue that we didn't deserve to win the game. You know, I would say for at least two-thirds of the game, we were definitely the better side, and I think that bodes well, because York, although, they've obviously had inconsistent results, and I know they've obviously the managers have moved on, and there's no two ways about it. York are a very, very strong Conference North side with some, you know, some high-profile players and some very talented players. And we showed that we've got a lot of quality across the board in our team on that occasion. And, you know, we're looking to replicate that on Saturday against Hartlepool.
And it's the game against Hartlepool is certainly one of the ties of the round, I'm going to suggest. I'm being diplomatic there. It probably is tie of the round, for being honest. When it comes to the FA Cup, though, and it's a question, actually, in the last round, it's a question I've been asking all the managers, because every manager appears to be in the same boat here. Everyone needs to catch up with games. And while you've been on this FA Cup run and competing in the FA Trophy and the likes of Bamber Bridge have shot out of nowhere. How are you managing the squad side of things and making sure that you know in these big occasions for the club you don't lose sight of the bread and butter side of things?
No, you're absolutely right. It's really important. You know, we obviously have kept an eye on the league table, and you know we haven't fallen too far behind quite yet. But you know that can easily happen. I've been at clubs before where they've been on good runs, and you sometimes find yourself sometimes 6-7 games behind the rest, and it's a real tough ask going into the last part of the season. You know, if things are to be played for and you're up and there or thereabouts trying to get promotion, it's really tough trying to play catch up. So it's going to be a challenge, undoubtedly. You know, hopefully it is a, you know, in some respects, I hope that we do have to face that challenge, because it means that we have had a fantastic run in at least one of the cups. So we've got it. You know, it's well publicised that we have got a strong squad, you know, strength and depth. And we're going to have to utilise that as we did last season, you know, when we were, you know, in all competitions still come the end of the season. We had to really utilise the squad and rotate things around. And I think that's something we're going to have to do again, hopefully this season.
But enough about the league. This weekend it is all about the FA Cup. And Mariners Park last time, you know, a very big crowd there.
In around the 3,000 mark. I mean, it was incredible yesterday. After the season ticket holders had got their tickets and sponsors, we opened it up to the general public yesterday, and you know, we sold over 2,000 tickets in 3 hours yesterday morning, which was just incredible. And I think that's that's a measure of how far the club's come in such a short period of time, and the kind of focus that is on the club right now, and long may continue.
Lee, obviously we wish everyone at South Shields the best of luck. I was saying to you off air, I keep making jokes about FC United not getting through to the next round, and then and then you get through and FC United get through. So hopefully we'll meet you again. We met in pre-season, but hopefully we'll meet you again in the first round proper, and I'll interview you gladly from that
game. I'd be delighted with that.
Well, Lee Picton, a big thank you for joining us, and best this weekend. We hope you win.
Take care. Thank you.
And a big thank you to Lee Procton, joint manager at South Shields, for joining us this week. The final four qualifying round tie for Saturday afternoon comes up next, and that's Stourbridge against Macclesfield Town. And joining us now to discuss this mammoth FA Cup tie, we're now joined by the welcome return to manager at Stourbridge. Please welcome back to the show, Gary Hackett. So welcome back to the show, Gary. Firstly, just before we get to this mammoth match against Macclesfield, just a big congratulations for the third qualifying round. I think we've become slightly blasé about Stourbridge in the FA Cup. That game against Alverton, that's a cracking result, that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, their recent form, Alverton, have been good. And, obviously you're playing a conference side. People can look at it and say, yeah, they had two players sent off, but... You know, there's reasons why they had two players sent off. You know, it's last man challenges. So who'd have said that, you know, we could have been 2-0 up, you know, with those goals anyway. But, it was especially pleasing. And we rode it out fairly comfortably, even though we got a bit kind of nervy when they pulled it back to 2-1. But obviously delighted to beat a conference club and get in the fourth qualifying round.
Now, whenever we speak to managers, they always say the same things. Oh, you can't really factor into your budgets, FA Cup runs and that kind of thing. And they're right, but... With Stourbridge, it feels like... Do you now budget for a good FA Cup run every season?
we certainly don't. I mean, it's... it is an added bonus. But, you know, one thing it does, it might give you a little bit extra on your budget. You can improve your ground, and it just gives you so many more opportunities. And, the longer you do it, and, you know, we've been fortunate to reach the first round and better 5 times in 8 years... which is remarkable, but, you know, we want a bit more of it. But we know tomorrow we're going to have to do it the hard way.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they're the top of the conference, so they don't come any tougher.
And we were suggesting that this is probably tie of the round. Unfortunately, the BBC have missed this opportunity. But it, like you say, Macclesfield, top of the conference, a proud club in its own right with a great FA Cup pedigree as well. What are you expecting from them?
We've had them watched. We've, you know, spoken to a few managers who played against them. They're a good footballing side. They work extremely hard. Bizarrely, they haven't scored too many goals, but they haven't conceded too many. We know a few of their players, and it's going to be one heck of a tough game. But, you know, the way I view it, if you're going to reach that first round proper, sooner or later along the way, you're going to have to do something special for a club of our level. And, you know, that's what we're going to have to do.
Just to focus on the league for a second or two, because I think this is the first time I've had you on all season, actually. When it comes to the league, Stourbridge, it's a good start to the season. I don't think you can complain necessarily too much about where you are, given the fact that you've been on a good cup run this season. What have you made of the start that Stourbridge have had?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a particularly disappointing result in a big local derby last week against Hells Owen, and I think that's why you don't see too many poor bookies, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people going into it would have forecast a Stourbridge win against Hells Owen, but it wasn't meant to be. I think if somebody had offered me the points ratio at the start of the season, especially with the amount of players that left at the end of last season, I would have taken it.
We heard you interview with Adam Parks earlier in the season, and you were saying that, you know, you were flying under the radar, getting results on the board, and you were saying, you know, considering the chopping and changing we've done over pre-season, I'm happy. Are you more content now? Are the players settled in now, do you feel?
Yeah, but, you know, it's sometimes in football, you're a game away from a mini-crisis, you know. We've suddenly taken a couple of injuries on board, and, you know, there's a lot of speculation and talk with Jordan Archer, our forward, that he might be going to pastures new. So that's the way football works. You know, it's you can never, ever get complacent in this game, because you'll definitely get hurt by it. And I think that's been a good sign of Stourbridge, that we don't get complacent. But, you know, it's been difficult the last 10 days or so with the injuries and speculation.
So going into this game against Macclesfield, and I'm pretty sure someone will be listening from Macclesfield, you're more than welcome to throw a curveball at this time, Garrett. What's it looking like then? You're starting 11 on Saturday.
Can I throw a curveball at you?
It's for Macclesfield to decide if you're playing mind games. That's the beauty of what you're about to say.
We've training tonight. I've got a couple of people who've been carrying knocks and whatever. I'm hoping our physios work very hard this week, and I'm hoping everyone will be available for Saturday. And that's not kind of that I'm not giving anything away. That's just the truth. Nothing else to be said, really.
Well, Gary Hackett, the only thing that can be said is a big good luck this weekend. Everyone here on the MPL show has got your back. We hope you win, and we'll definitely be speaking to you in the first round proper. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
And speaking of Stourbridge, very, very shortly we're going to be catching up with Adam Parks from Black Country Radio, talking about Stourbridge as well as Halesow in town. And straight after that, we're going to be catching up with Andrew Simpson with a preview for this weekend's matches in the MPL Premier Division. But there's one final four qualifying round match which we've not covered yet, and that's taking place this coming Sunday as our very own Shawlane hosts Barrow. And joining me now once again to talk about Shawlane, it's the manager. Please welcome back Craig Elliott. So welcome back to the show, Craig. And firstly, just before we get to this weekend's tie, a big congratulations for the last round. A very good result that against Lancaster.
Yeah, it were a good game, to be honest with you. It could have gone either way. I think we knew going into it it'd be an even match, but we managed just to start sneaking in, and we were pleased with the win.
Now, with that win, I mean, I was speaking to Grant Black earlier at Ossett, and I did a bit of research for Ossett Town, and this is the second time they've been to the fourth qualifying round. But yeah. I think it's something we've missed about Shawlane. This is the furthest Shawlane have ever gone in the FA Cup now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think we won an FA Cup game going into it this season, so... Yeah, it's amazing, really. And I sort of say a lot to my players, we're always creating history as a new club, and it's amazing to get where we've got to, but we want to try and take it a step further.
And one of the other amazing things about this, and it's something we've been touching upon, especially with the Division 1 sides, is the loss of league matches due to a good cup run,
yeah,
and the effect that has on league positioning. But you are going into the FA Cup this weekend, leaving the league to one side, but knowing that you are top of the league, which is some run.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, to be honest with you. We've not actually drawn a game yet, so we've managed to get a lot of points on board, and it's nice to sit at top. Like you said, I were a bit sort of apprehensive about losing a few league matches, but in terms of with the FA Cup run, but it's nice to sort of have a healthy points total and now look forward to a break from league.
Now, obviously, it's a big deal, this, for any club, but especially for Shawlane against National League opposition. It is a level of the game that I'd imagine Shawlane would like to be at in the next 5 or 10 years or so. It is very, very important. But that said, so's the league. How are you balancing it all?
I think we're just, like, I know it's a cliche, but we are just literally taking one game at a time, and that's what we tried to do. I don't think you can plan to do well at FA Cup. I think it's one of them things that just sort of naturally happens. And I think, like I said to you before, we played Blythe away, and you're thinking, oh, that's a difficult one as FA Cup run could come to an end, but we managed to win that, and then we get Lancaster, and it's just one of them things that snowballs, and you find yourselves in a good position in the FA Cup, and the decade as it comes, really, and now we're in a great opportunity to get into the first round.
I remember playing Barrow in the final qualifying round, and at that time Barrow weren't having the best of form in the league,
right.
And at the minute they're not pulling up any trees, are they, in the National League? What are you expecting from them?
They are flirting with sort of relegation positions at the minute, but I've had a good look at the results and sort of feedback I've got. They've been involved in nearly every game where they could have won it. They've drawn a lot, and the games that they have lost, they've only lost by the odd goal, so it's not as if they're down there losing 4-0, 5-0. They are a pretty competitive team. Not scoring too many goals, and I think they've not won away from home either, so them sort of statistics sort of play in our favour. But yeah, I'm not getting too carried away with their league position, because like I said, nearly every game they've played in that league, they've sort of been within a chance of winning it.
One thing you touched upon there is that, you know, you don't like drawing games, and that's a benefit, isn't it, in one of these ties?
Yeah, I sort of subconsciously said that this year, that we're going to go into every game to try and win it. We don't want to sort of try and get a few draws. I think it's more beneficial to go on a run of winning games and losing one, winning three type of scenario. So, yeah, look, same mentality going into FA Cup. We'll go on Sunday and try and win the game. We're not going to try and play for a replay or for a, you know what I mean, a draw. We're just going to try and go win the match.
And circumstances like this and events like this, is it now starting to feel like home that the new venue Charlene are at? Are you bedded in now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think sort of, you always like to try and pull on a few sort of games and memories when you're at your own ground, and that's what we started to do now. We've had a few big wins this season against good teams, and you sort of, the more wins and memories you get, the sort of more it feels like home. And like I said, we've won a couple of games at FA Cup, and it's, yeah, game by game, we sort of starting to feel like it's our own ground now.
Well, it's sure to be a great event this coming Sunday. Charlene against Barrow, and Craig Elliott, manager at Charlene, we wish you the best of luck. And as I've said to you in numerous rounds now, we'll definitely be speaking to you in the next round. Thanks for coming on.
Lovely. Thank you. Cheers.
And that's it for this week's FA Cup preview. I hope you enjoyed all of those interviews there. A big good luck to all our sides in FA Cup fourth qualifying round action over the weekend. We hope you all win. But it's now time to draw our eyes to league matters. Coming up in a second or two, we're going to be hearing from the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own Andrew Simpson with a preview for this weekend's big matches in the Evo Stick Northern Premier League Premier Division. But before that, just to touch upon the Black Country, and this past week, as we heard earlier from Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge, Halesowen Town beat Stourbridge in the number 9 derby. And to hear more on this now, as well as the upturning form from Halesowen, plus, of course, Stourbridge in the FA Cup, we're now joined by the welcome return from Black Country Radio by the return of Adam Parks. So, welcome back to the show, Adam. And the number 9 derby, a cracking result that from Halesowen Town, and a very much needed 3 points for them.
It was. There were signs of it been on the cards from their game at the previous Tuesday evening, where they played really well. That point actually gave them a lot of confidence, I think, to take into the game at Stourbridge. And quite obviously, John Hill had done his homework on the Glass Boys, and it was a good performance that they basically stopped Stourbridge playing the free-flowing football that they used to. Took two opportunities on the counter-attack, which Udo scored in the first half, and Stourbridge were always playing catch-up from there on in. So the result, a win for Halesowen was a surprise. The performance didn't surprise me, because you could see it was on the cards. And obviously since then, Halesowen have gone on and beaten Hensford at home on Tuesday evening. So things perhaps turning for John Hill's men at long last.
Absolutely. I mean, it's made the relegation picture a lot more interesting now. I mean, I can think of a couple of weeks ago, it was looking like it was between a couple of sides. But now, with Halesowen's upturning form, because they followed up with that win against Hensford as well, didn't they? It's made those teams in mid-table now looking over the shoulder a bit more anxiously.
Well, that's it. And I know you were on with me a couple of weeks ago on my show where we had a guy in from Halesowen Town on that particular evening, and he sounded quite despondent and couldn't see a way forward. But all of a sudden, you know, it's amazing what 7 points in 3 games can do. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in a situation where you're 4th, 5th from bottom and almost up to the peloton, as it were. So it'll give Halesowen Town a lot of heart. Yeah, there's still a long way to go, and they're still very much at the wrong end of the table. But at the moment, they're playing well. I think the key will be whether they can hang on to their low knees in Finney and Udo, who have played very well since joining the club. And John Hill, very much noted for being able to get good loan players for a period of time, is hanging on to them and progressing, you know, to safety. So let's see how the next few weeks go before we start counting any chickens with Halesowen.
But once again, 2,300 there at Stourbridge for that game. And I think last year's occasion there, the number 9 derby, it's electric, isn't it? The atmosphere that's generated from the crowd. And it's a cracking advert for non-league football in the Black Country.
Well, absolutely. And we likened it to the big FA Cup days that Stourbridge have at Amblecote. I don't think anyone really expected 2,300. I think perhaps 1,200, 1,300 were what a lot of people I was talking to were expecting, particularly given Halesowen's bad run of form and perhaps a little bit of apathy amongst Halesowen Town supporters. But I also think what made a difference was the fact that there weren't any local league games that day. So no Wolves, no Albion, no Villa, no Blues. So it was a case that I think people were making hay and taking in a well-publicised non-league derby. and it was a cracking atmosphere and thoroughly enjoyable day.
So Hales Owen go on Saturday, and we'll have a preview for that in a second with Andrew Simpson. But just to mention Stourbridge and the FA Cup, a very big game, and it's going to be on Black Country Radio, isn't it? What's your thoughts going into this one?
I think it'll be a bridge too far for Stourbridge, if I'm honest. What worries me is the fact that they didn't play that brilliantly against Colville before the Hales Owen Town game, and they probably actually played worse against Hales Owen Town. Darryl Westlake and Aris Christofuru, the two fullbacks, have got to get past a fitness test if they're going to be playing on Saturday. They are big links at the back. And going forward, Jordan Archer wasn't available last week. He is available this week, but he's having other clubs knock on the door after him at the moment. The latest I hear is Tranmere Rovers, after Walsall showed an interest a month or so ago. So it worries me who's going to be scoring the goals. Archer's done well so far, but then you look at the leading goal scorers and you've got Leon Broadhurst, who's been at the club for, you know, since I was in nappies, to be honest. So, you know, I worry about the fact that there isn't an out-and-out striker similar to what Stourbridge have had for the last two seasons. And bear in mind, the Glass Boys have had the NPL top striker for the last two seasons, and that's probably helped them, you know, get where they are. But there's no Luke Bembo, for instance, this season to sort of bail them out of trouble. And I just worry where the goals are coming from.
And anything can happen in the FA Cup, as many teams have proven over the years, especially Stourbridge too. And Stourbridge will be hosting Macclesfield Town. It is going to be on Black Country Sport. Go on, Adam. The floor is yours, my friend.
So we're live from 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon on 102.5 FM in the West Midlands, and also at all the www.blackcountryradio.co.uk, and live commentary as per normal. So we look forward to it. But I think it's going to be a tough game, Ben, to be honest. Macclesfield are a very good side at the top of the National League. And if Stourbridge do get through, they'll certainly earn their place in the first round proper.
Well, I'll be keeping one eye on it on Saturday afternoon. But for everyone else, tune in to Black Country Radio. Stourbridge against Macclesfield Town, top of the conference against one of the stars of the FA Cup from the Northern Premier League over recent years. It's going to be a cracking game. And Adam Parks, you'll be covering it live. Thank you for coming on the show, and all the best this weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
So a big thank you to Adam Parks from Black Country Radio for joining us there. And it's certainly been an eventful week for Hales Owen and for Stourbridge. And joining me now on the other end to discuss not just Hales Owen, not just Stourbridge, but our whole 24-team league. We're now joined by the welcome return from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian by the lovely Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andy. How's things?
All right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. It has been an eventful week for Hales Owen. Cracking run they've been on recently. They beat Stourbridge, obviously we've covered that, and then midweek they beat Hensford Town, and they've got themselves off the bottom of the table. And what they've excitedly done for my money is they've made relegation now a prospect for a lot of sides, whereas a couple of weeks ago that wasn't the case.
Yeah, they've made it interesting, haven't they? Which is great, and they deserve enormous credit. I mean, that's arguably the result of the season, isn't it? To go to Stourbridge and, you know, beat your neighbours, local rivals, who were obviously having a great season unexpectedly, and that obviously gave them a huge lift by going on to beat Hensford then in midweek. So lifting themselves, for now at least, clear at the bottom of the table. Hales Owen, I mean, I've said this a number of times this season, they needed goals. They were desperate for goals. I mean, they've still got the smallest number of goals in the division, but they are heading in the right direction. One of the players that's made an impact is a striker they've got on loan from Crewe, Dan Udo, I think is how you pronounce it. And they're looking to try and extend that because he's been in good form this week, was on target in both of those wins. And doesn't get any easier for them, though, does it, Altrincham away this weekend?
No, absolutely. Funny story about Altrincham, actually. I've been meaning to have Altrincham on for the past 3 weeks now. And right. What happened was my phone broke. My daughter broke my screen on my phone. So I was meant to talk to Neil Savelle. And my phone broke and I couldn't get in touch with him because I don't have his number. I've only got Phil Parkes' number. So we missed each other. Anyway, I fixed my phone and I text Neil Savelle, even though I lost all my numbers, because I did still have that text message from him arranging the time. So I texted him and said, sorry about that, Neil. Can we talk next week? Sure, Ben, no problem at all. Don't worry, Neil. I've written your number down now. My daughter's nowhere near my phone. Neil responds, ha, ha, ha. No worries, Ben. Spoke to him last week. Start my interview off saying, you know, cracking result that against Nantwich. Was it weird going back to your old club? And Neil says, I've never, in his Brummie accent, I've never been at Nantwich. I've managed Rushall once. I went, oh, this is Neil Kitching, isn't it, at Stafford? So that's why we had Neil Kitching on last week. And seriously, you wouldn't believe the turnaround that we had. Which that interview that you heard last week, dear listener, happened on the hoof, completely on the hoof. And, wow. And then we had a good laugh and a joke. So thank you to Neil Kitching. But it's worked out for Neil Kitching because they've got 4 points in the last two games. We'll come to Stafford in a second. But Altrincham, despite not coming on the show, they've not looked back, have they?
No, they're in ominously great form, aren't they? And as well as Hales Owen have done this week, and they have done really well. I mean, it is the worst possible place to be going is to Moss Lane. They lost there, obviously, on the opening day of the season against Stafford, which everyone kind of was aghast at, and then they've won every game there since. So normal service has resumed. They've only lost once in their past 12 Northern Premier League games. Alti are very much in the groove, very much ominously moving towards the top of the table. I expect them to beat Hales Owen this weekend. And I mean, John Hill, the Hales Owen manager himself, has admitted in an interview down there with their local paper that it would be another almighty upset if they were to take anything this weekend. So, but they go there with no pressure. They go there with confidence up. So Altrincham must need to be a little bit careful, but they're showing no signs of complacency. I know they drew at Whitby on Tuesday, but I think an away midweek point at Whitby is a very good result.
And Alti know as well that if results go their way at the weekend, with Charlie not playing, they'll be top of the league if they get a good enough victory. Now, Warrington are in third position at the moment. They've kicked back, haven't they? Because it was looking a bit iffy. They got a good win against Whitby. They did then get beat, though, at Hurst Cross against Ashton United midweek.
Yeah.
But they are in third, 3 points off the league leaders, we should say. And this weekend, they're travelling to Barwell. Barwell are in eighth position. And as we've said now, Barwell are Barwell plus this season, beating Charlene last Saturday. Not bad at all. And then a 1-1 draw against Rushall Olympic. More on Rushall later. But this one, Barwell against Warrington.
Yeah, it's one of the games of the day, isn't it, I think? You're right about Warrington. They'll be glad to see the back of Ashton because Ashton have beaten them twice this season. So they'll be delighted that they won't have to play them again because that's accounting for two of Warrington's three defeats. You know, what a tough week that is. Back-to-back games against Ashton and then Barwell on the road. However, having said that, that was Warrington's first away defeat of the season, which shows how well they've done away from Cantilever Park this season, that they've managed to be unbeaten for that long. Paul Carden is battling a little bit with a worryingly large injury list at the moment. So there is a little bit of turnover in his selection, which is causing a little bit of a headache for him. And that includes Tony Gray being in good form for them up front in the early stages of the season. So part mitigation for why they lost to Ashton in midweek, just struggling a little bit with getting everybody available, getting everybody fit. Barwell, what a great season they're having. They're in really good form as well. They've only lost one of the past seven, as you say. Great win against Shorelane. They're also notoriously difficult to beat at home, as we've touched on in previous years. And in fact, they've won three of the past four at home. So it's a really tough assignment for Warrington this weekend. I think a draw wouldn't be such a bad result at Barwell. Of course, Paul Carden will tell you he wants to win every game. But for me, probably the match of the day in the Premier Division this weekend.
Fars is Celtic. They're currently in fourth position. They beat Nantwich Town by 2-0 on Saturday. This weekend, they'll be travelling to Lancaster City. I think this is the second time they've met each other. I think they met each other a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, they did, and it was 0-0, and I wonder if that might be instructive going into this weekend. I mean, Lancaster have drawn quite a few games already this season. Farsley are made of pretty stern stuff, as we've touched on. I mean, they have a heavy defeat at Altrincham, and then they followed that with a defeat against Barwell, but have bounced straight back and strung together a win, a little winning run now to get themselves back into the top five. So what a great season they're having. After being promoted at the end of last season. Two teams obviously that know each other well from playing each other in recent seasons in Division 1 North. Lancaster's still a little bit anchored in the middle of the table, aren't they? They don't seem to be able to...
Got loads of games in hand, though, aren't
but
they?
But exactly. That was exactly what I was going to say. Loads of games in hand. They had a tough week, didn't they, when they went out the FA Cup losing to Shorelane and then got turned over by Warrington. But they did get a win back on the board by playing Sutton Coldfield in their last Premier Division game. So I feel a little bit better about that. They're also very, very strong at home, of course. And I don't think actually have lost in the league at the Giant Axe this season. And of course, as we've touched on in previous shows, still have the meanest defence. So that 0-0 in the first game is looking like a pretty handy bet for the second, I think.
Now, Ashton United, they're in sixth. They've had a cracking couple of games, haven't they, of late? Yeah. Beat Michelover Sports 5-2 away from home, and as we touched upon earlier, beat Warrington Town by 2-0. And this weekend, they'll be taking on Stafford Rangers, who themselves have had a decent week, beating Grantham Town on Saturday, and then the midweek draw against Michelover Sports. But Ashton United, it started to look like Swampy was surprisingly correct in what he said on the monthly show about them. You know, if they don't finish in the top six, they'll have underachieved.
Yeah, and we all kind of looked at him in a little bit of disbelief, but oh, how foolish we're starting to look now, which pains me to admit, to be honest. But yeah, Ashton deserve an enormous amount of credit. Like you say, fantastic win against Warrington in midweek. They're in really good form, won 5 of the past 7 in the Northern Premier League. They're actually the best travellers in the division. Nobody's picked up as many points as they have on the road this season, which is pretty ominous for Stafford, who themselves, to be fair, are starting to move up the table, something that Neil Kitchen touched on with you. You kind of, this to and fro in the FA Cup meant that they couldn't quite get any momentum going in the league. He did say it was a priority to sort out their home form. The signs are starting to be encouraging. When I was there when they lost 4-0 against Witten last month, and since then they've beaten Nantwich and drawn with Mickle over there. So it looks like they're starting to get their act together at home. Unbeaten in the past three in the league. Just a little mini run they've started, but a really tough assignment against an in-form Ashton this weekend. I think Neil will probably be pretty happy with a draw from that. Ashton will be looking to push into the top five by picking up 3 points.
Now, Grantham Town, they're currently in seventh position, 2 points from Stour Bridge. Stourbridge will have 3 games in hand over Grantham Town after this weekend. Grantham yeah. Town, they followed up that 2-1 defeat at the hands of Stafford by bouncing back and beating Colville Town 3-1. It's been a weird season for Grantham. It does feel like a weird season.
Very up and down, very inconsistent, almost won as many as they've lost. It's been quite difficult to kind of predict what they're going to do next. Like you say, they lost last weekend but then bounced back with a good win against Colville. They have lost only one in the past five, so they are kind of in not a bad little run at the moment. They're in great goal scoring form, by the way, 18 goals in the past 5 games, and they're now the leading scorers in the division as a result of that. So they are in half decent nick going into this. Stalybridge is a funny one. Look like they've shown signs of life, haven't they?
Well, they beat Matlock, and then got beat the next game.
Yeah, they managed to string together a little mini run of 4 games unbeaten, and they lost at Marine, which was a little bit of a surprise because Marine have been really struggling in midweek. If you're a betting man, you're still going to bet a Grantham this weekend for the pure fact that Stalybridge have lost every single away game so far.
Workington, they're in ninth position. Workington will be travelling to Hensford Town this weekend. For Workington, obviously, you've seen them now. You saw them midweek against Witten winning by 1-0. That's following Workington beating Colville by 1-0. And for Workington to be ninth, given the start they've had, 2 points from the playoffs, so it's a decent start to the season, surprisingly.
Yeah, it's a decent start to the season, and they actually arrived in Northwich on Tuesday on a really good run. They'd won the four previous games and were big favourites going into that game, and I have to say that they were deservedly beaten on Tuesday by Witten. I was a little bit disappointed with Workington on the night. In mitigation for them, they had a number of players missing because of work commitments, injuries, so their team was disrupted. It's important to point that out. But they were playing a Witten team that was woefully short on confidence and woefully out of form. And they also had an extra man for the last 35 minutes after Prince Haywood was sent off for Witten. And they didn't really look like they knew what to do, how to make the most of it. What really struck me about Workington is what a young team they are this season. It's quite curious, quite interested to see that. I still think they're going to be in the conversation to finish in the playoffs. I think they just had a bad night at the office on Tuesday. So I don't think there's anything to be too concerned about. I was just a little bit disappointed with them on the night. Hensford have also seen this week because they beat Witten last weekend and are very strong at home this season, Hensford. They've only lost to Altrincham there. And they've picked up since Rob Smith went in as manager. It's a little bit up and down while he sorts things out. They look a little bit short of goals to me, although they did in the end find a winner against Witten last Saturday, but they've played 10, won 5, lost 5 since Rob came in. So that's evidence of him kind of sorting through things, getting things together, struggling for a little bit of consistency. But the last couple of weeks has been really encouraging for them. And yes, I know they lost to Hales Owen in midweek, which was disappointing for them, but I think they are going to slowly get their act together. I don't know if it'll be enough for them to challenge for the playoffs. I think this is going to be a really close game, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw.
Now, just to go down towards the bottom end of the table, and we, as we touched upon earlier, Halesow in town picking up those two victories this past week has really put the cat amongst the pigeons, very much so. And Sutton Coldfield Town are currently bottom of the table on 12 points. Rush Olympic, they're on 12 points. They've had a managerial change as well, we should say. Yes. Michelover Sports, they are, how could I put this? They are 6 points up the road, but them and Matlock must be looking over their shoulders, and you know, Marine as well. Michelover Sports will be hosting Rush Olympic this weekend. Sutton Coldfield Town will be hosting Whitby Town, and Marine will be taking on Matlock Town. And they are looking over the shoulder, the likes of Matlock Town and Michelover now, it feels.
Yeah, it's closing up a little bit, isn't it? I mean, Sutton need to sort their defence out, because they're blatant to state the bleeding obvious, because they're conceding far too many goals. It looked like, I think when we did the record for the monthly show, I think you'd mentioned that Sutton has shown signs of life. They'd strung together a couple of results, and it looked like they might be okay. But then they've lost three in a row now, so they go into this game against Whitby on a downer again. Whitby haven't travelled well at all this season, lost six of their eight games away from home. So even though they've improved overall, they're still struggling to pick points away from home. So Sutton might look at this and say, this is a chance for us to get something against one of the weaker travellers in the division. Michelover and Rushall, it's a really big game, that, isn't it? I mean, Rushall, I've read before I came online today that obviously John Allen's looking after the team again.
Yep.
In the meantime, whilst they're waiting to see who's going to replace Wayne Thomas, who I did feel a little bit sorry for, by the way, for losing his job this early in the season. But obviously Rushall made the decision now they need to kind of rock on with it.
It's a tough gig, isn't it? I mean, we spoke to Wayne and he was talking about how the club basically now needs to look towards youth development and bringing in players from the local area, as well as trying to bring in the crowds from the local area. And it is a congested non-league scene and football scene that where Rushall find themselves.
Yeah, I think that's true, but and that's what I was going to come on to. I think Wayne was really quite clear about that in the kind of the policy and the kind of ethos about how he was going to approach the job. And you assume that the committee and the board were okay with that. That's something that they were going to do together. I mean, with only one team going down this season, I'm not sure that kind of, you know, and like you say, it's closing up at the bottom anyway. I'm not sure kind of going bottom at this stage of the season, which they did after that heavy defeat against Grantham, was massive cause for alarm. Obviously, I wasn't in the stand that night. I've not seen Rushall yet this season, but they did actually have a brilliant win against Witten a couple of weeks ago, and you thought they maybe had turned the corner, but they've made the decision. John Allen said they're going to take their time with the appointment. I mean, they picked up a point in midweek, didn't they? Which is a good point as well, by the way, by drawing with Barwell. So we'll see how they go. Michelover's not a bad place to go if you're trying to plunder some points, because their home record's pretty poor this season. They've only won twice at home. Michelover are a really funny team, aren't they? They're just impossible to predict. I think you made the reference last week that you look at their form guide and it is like a traffic light system. There's just no consistency at all. And what was the other game? Marine and Matlock. Yeah, I mean, massive win for Marine.
Massive
that
win,
against,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, so important, so important. They'd not won any of the previous 11 games before that, so it was such an important win for them. They'll want to play Stalybridge every week because they've beaten them home and away this season. Matlock, yeah, their season just hasn't got going, has it, at all? And they're not in great nick away from home. Lost five of the eight away games. So Marine will look at this and say, we've got a great chance of stringing together back-to-back wins here. I just find Marine's season really odd, because remember they went to Stourbridge and beat them 2-0 and we were all like, wow, this is really encouraging. And it's just nothing's happened for them since then. It's really, really interesting. But yeah, if they can get back-to-back wins by beating Matlock this weekend, I think they'll be upwardly mobile then, and they'll start to kind of pull away a little bit. But yeah, really interesting set of fixtures, isn't it, that they're all playing each other?
Very interesting. And lastly, but not leastly, we should say, the one I've saved best to the last, Witten Albion against Coldfield Town. Witten Albion 10th, Coldfield Town 12th. What's the general mood like at the moment, Witten?
Well, do you remember when we previewed the return game and it was a first v third or first
yes.
v second?
Yes.
It's like, what's happened in the past 4 to 5 weeks since I last did the Friday preview show? It's been a really weird one for both teams. The mood at Witten after obviously beating Workington midweek is one of massive relief, because this 5-game losing run that they've been on, had a couple of really poor performances in it, admittedly, but I had a look at them at Hensford last weekend. There wasn't a massive amount wrong. They actually defended really well and could probably make a case that they did enough to get a 0-0 really before they were undone right at the end. They looked like exactly what they were, a team with just no confidence, no belief. They'd been hit really badly by this run because Carl made the point to me, it's quite interesting, they basically pretty much won every week for 18 months. And so they when they kind of hit this bump in the road that they didn't really know or really well equipped with how to react, which I thought was quite interesting. They were used to winning, and this little bit of adversity, they kind of were like, oh, hang on, what do we do here? So kind of ending that run on Tuesday was huge. They actually played really well on Tuesday as well, which will be a massive encouragement for Carl McCulley. To be fair to him, he never really gave me the impression that he was panicking. Obviously, he was worried, but kept faith with his team and has got his reward because they got that win. And they'll be looking to build on that when Colville come to town on Saturday. Colville, very similar. They have that fantastic start to the season. Great win against Witten. Deserved to beat Witten when we were talking about them last. And then not a lot's gone right for them since then. They've lost four games in a row now, which is why, weirdly, they go into this game finding themselves just behind Witten in the table. I think the thing with Colville is, after seeing them, and I have given them a lot of praise on the monthly show, and it all still is valid, even though they've had a tough couple of weeks, is that they do give up a lot of chances. You are going to get chances to score against them, and I do wonder if that's part of the reason why they've struggled a little bit in the past couple of weeks. They play a really open attacking game, which is fantastic to watch, but it does mean that they are a little bit vulnerable to conceding goals, and the fact they've shipped 26 kind of backs me up on that. I think it'll be another really open game, and I think Witten are slight favourites because they come off the back of that win, but I think these two teams are illustrative of something that we often bang on this show, about just how competitive this league is. Like I say, not quite hero to zero, that's a bit unfair on both of them, but they were at the top of the league, what, 2-3 weeks ago? How quickly things change. But, you know, Witten, 24 points. They're only 3 points behind Stourbridge going into the weekend. So, again, it just shows how quickly things can change, doesn't it? And that's a reason not to panic when you do go on one of these little slides that they've both been on.
Absolutely. Well, job well done, Mr. Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Thank you for coming on the show. Just a quick plug for your excellent work. How can people keep abreast of your musings and that kind of thing?
Yes, northwichguardian.co.uk. I will be at Witten this weekend to see if they can indeed make it back-to-back wins against Colville. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Simo_on_sports. Come join the fun.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining me from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, as well as all my other guests. Blimey, where'd you start? Adam Parks, thank you. James Hayes, thank you. Will Baines, thank you. And the managers from Buxton, Nantwich, Hyde United, Ossett Town, South Shields, Stourbridge and Shore Lane, thank you for joining us on this week's Evo Stick NPL show. A big good luck to everyone in four qualifying round action in the FA Cup this weekend. We hope you all win. That includes Scarborough and Hyde United, of course. We hope you both win and somehow make it through to the first round proper. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. Remember, you can keep abreast of all the latest news from the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.